Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:12. Mr. Robertson is in the house.
Morning.
Morning.
Oh, are you ready for this question?
Oh, you're going to the back of the book. Huh?
Well, that's kind of about where we are with this one. We're getting close to the end. There's a whole other book over there, so don't you fret.
I didn't know you were keeping track.
Yeah, well, I just doodle on them, so kind of keep turning the pages and move one to the next, to the next, to the next. You would probably get one about what causes hiccups, so we're not worried about that one. Okay. Why do I sometimes appear red in a flash photograph?
Why do you appear red in a flash photograph?
Eyes.
Oh, eyes.
Yes.
The reflection of the iris, I think, or the retina.
When a flash is so aimed that the light reflects off the back of the eye into the camera lens.
So that would be the retina.
Uh-huh. The red is caused by blood vessels in the retinal tissue in the back of the eye. Oh, are you a biology major?
No, anthropology.
Wait a minute. Dead things from a long time ago don't have
eyes. No, that's archaeology.
Yeah, but there's some in there too, isn't there?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I had an eye issue.
Did you ever go on a dig?
No, but I have been to Sterkfontein in South Africa, which is where the oldest living human fossil was found.
Is that Olduvai?
No, that's a different place.
So this one is older than Lucy?
Yes. That's what I understand. And I don't remember the name of that particular fossil. So
you're not keeping up with your major?
No. Well, that's debatable because, you know, the study of human culture is an ever-dynamic thing. And as the fire chief, it's definitely been useful.
But you're not going through any really old garbage dumps anymore looking for
things? No, I don't really do that. So I was more on the cultural side than the archaeology side. Yeah. Yeah. But,
So no dumpster diving in your near future, huh?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No.
Yeah,
unless,
okay.
Even if I have to help with an investigation of a dumpster fire,
You pull rank on that one?
Yeah, I don't. Unless, you know, there's nobody else. But those are hard to do because you can imagine sifting through burned garbage. It's difficult to find clues.
I would bring a forklift and have them lift it up and turn it upside down.
Well, that would really compromise the integrity of your scene. So.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have to climb inside of it.
That's when you hope it has a side door.
Yeah. That's an option that's used pretty prevalently, isn't it? A side door into the garbage can?
Yep. The dumpsters, anyway.
Did you do an awful lot of fire investigation?
Me, no.
Yeah.
No. With the fire service, you kind of specialize a bit early because all those specialties have a lot of training. So for myself, I went the hazmat route. So I became a hazmat specialist, and I was on the hazmat team, and that was 6 weeks of training. And then we train every month, and fortunately we don't have many responses locally, but there's a lot of training.
Yeah, well, and the definition of what's hazardous keeps evolving also. How long is the list now?
I don't know.
I'm still trying to figure out how household paint is.
Well, once it gets in the storm drain and goes into the ocean, it becomes a problem. It is toxic.
Yeah, but who pours it into the drain?
You'd be surprised.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I can remember a long time ago.
Right.
At 6th and E.
Yeah.
One of those 5-gallon paint jugs fell off a truck and... Boy, we had sandbags all over the place.
Yeah.
It was rather impressive. I don't know if a younger version of you was there, though.
I do remember that, but I wasn't on that incident.
That wasn't you?
No.
Yeah. It was just...
There was another incident close by there where there was some painting being done in the alleyway, and that was being dumped straight into the storm drain. And there was a very...
Those murals, or was this when Jack had the paint
This
store?
Was much before then.
Oh, okay.
It was on a building. Somebody was painting the building.
And it just was sloughing off? Or
no, they were dumping, they were mixing and dumping the paint into the storm drain. They're cleaning out their paint.
Oh, they were blowing out, cleaning it out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was raining a lot that day, so it traveled a lot and was visible. Yeah. And I've done, been on
what
those.
Is it Sherwin-Williams, Cover the World?
Yeah, exactly. Man.
So, or maybe, was that, gosh.
I think that is Sherwin-Williams.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've thought about
that. That's right. It was the Dutch Boy paints.
Okay.
Is the one with the little kid.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so paint in the stone rain is not good. Just like fuel or oil.
Yeah.
Becomes an environmental problem.
Well, what are you supposed to do if you use the oil-based paints, or I guess that's what it was used for, and you need to use paint thinner? If there's any leftover, you just let it dry out?
You evaporate? Can, or you take it to the Hazardous Waste Management Authority.
Yeah, but, you know, if you've got, let's say, a pint of it left over, you're not going to drive. Most people won't drive 20 or 30 minutes.
Well, you probably just put a lid on it and leave it in your garage, right? That's what most people do.
Yeah, let it sit there for another 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
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 So it becomes a collectible.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's what most folks do, but the best thing to do is to dispose of it through the Recology.
Or clean your brush a second time so it all disappears.
Sure.
Yeah.
But where are you going to, what are you going to do with the product you're using to clean it? Got to go somewhere.
Yeah, I guess that stuff stuck, huh?
Yeah.
What is the biggest material that's defined as a hazardous material that people are unaware of? Regular guy, or yeah, we stop him on the street and said, "Do you think this is a hazardous material?" And you either show it or explain what it is, you know, or say what it is that we would be surprised at.
I do not have a good answer for that. I'd have to think about that one. The only things that come to mind are what is the most prevalent thing, which is gasoline, but most people are aware of that.
Well, you just burn that off, right?
Sure. Or, you know, you think you drop a cigarette or a match in a puddle of it and let it explode. Yeah.
See what happens?
Yeah.
It's kind of like burning your Christmas tree after Christmas.
Yeah.
Let's see if they're really telling the truth.
That's a good way to define the difference between combustible and flammable.
There you go. And more insights when we return.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. So you guys, the board, rather, took a vote earlier this week that everybody has to be vaccinated.
Yes.
Was that in effect prior to that? Because you guys, the hybrid nature of the agency, a little bit of city, a little bit of district.
Right.
Prior to that, was there any compliance to what the city had required?
No, not specifically, but the city expected us to follow suit at some point because we do occupy city facilities, we do interact with city employees, and we do live in three fire stations and a classroom and things
like that. So three-fifths of you then could be...
Yeah, that wouldn't
doesn't make much sense,
well.
Does it? No.
So that's not what we had.
So
to do.
So the board voted to follow the lead of the city? Is that kind of basically what it was?
Yeah. And then the mandates that are happening across the country at other fire agencies, just as public servants, you know, that's a...
Well, and you guys get federal dollars, too, and that's part of the pressure point.
Yeah, we do get... We have gotten FEMA money for the COVID reimbursement and then for the assistance to firefighter grants.
As you look at some of the different arguments around that, you feel comfortable in requiring the staff or that the staff is required to be vaccinated?
I think being vaccinated is the best protection for us and our community. So, yes, I feel comfortable with that. A mandate by nature is you know, going to be a very difficult thing. And we don't often function under mandates as the fire department, although we're, you know, under a massive amount of regulations and rules. There's several vaccines that are required to even become a firefighter because we do get exposed to a lot of communicable diseases. And, you know, I myself had an infectious disease through work that I've had to deal with my whole life. So, you know, those are very real things. So
that's why I was wondering if there were other required or mandated aspects.
Yeah, they're not mandated. So, again, this is kind of an unprecedented thing like the rest of the situation. But they're required or recommended by Cal OSHA, by the CDC, by the NFPA, National Fire Protection Agency. And they're just highly recommended for all those reasons. So we have an infectious disease program. And if there are any exposures, we have to go through prophylactics to deal with that or those kinds of things. So they're, you know, dealing with infectious diseases is part of our job too, but never on this scale where so many people are infected.
That's why I was wondering, what concerns do you have for the troops? You know, what are the types of things that they may be exposed to that a vaccine could help reduce the risk factor in addition to this?
Well, you know, just getting through this pandemic to, you know, not have to have the highest level of protection we have on everything. And with the variants that may come about, the infectious rate can go up and down. So we're still operating as though we're dealing with a particular strain. And then, like we saw with Delta, that changed everything. And we experienced that before we were able to get vaccines in 2020, where we were responding to incidents with a recommended level of protection and people still got infected. And so the benefit of the vaccine now is if we do get infected, whether it's through work or at home, that's going to have less of a long-term significant effect on us. And we're still, now that we're getting into flu season, we're still having people getting sick.
That's what I was wondering.
The symptoms are, you know, pretty similar, so we have to treat them like they're COVID. So we have to do testing and put people on quarantine until that's confirmed.
What about for the staff? Are you going to require flu shots also?
No, they're always recommended.
But not a requirement?
No. No, because, I mean, if you're asking me what's the difference, then...
I'm just curious what other things... I mean, the recommendations, sure.
Yeah.
But are there other
requirements in place? The CDC does recommend flu vaccines every year.
And boosters and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
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 Tetanus, I would imagine, you guys?
Yep.
Every 6 months kind of thing or every year? Or?
No, it's just initially and then depending on injury. Like any time you get an injury from a nail.
You find a nail, yeah, or a corner.
I mean, we have those pretty often where you step on a nail at a structure fire. And
why don't you go with steel-toed?
We do.
Steel-soled boots.
Those are required, but sometimes a nail will get through that. Those are pretty infrequent, but they have happened. And then probably the most unpleasant injury was one of our firefighters lost his balance and fell backward. And he fell onto one of our Halligan tools.
What's that?
It's a prying tool to force entry, and it has a giant spike on it.
That's like the axe with the on both sides?
Similar to that, but it has a giant spike on it, and he fell on that, and yeah, that was not good. So he had to get a tetanus shot.
Nice summation. That wasn't good.
If you saw the tour, you'd cringe even more.
No, you know, nope. That's okay. I'm there, and I don't need it. you turned out to be okay?
Yes, he's fine.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. You know, we may not want to have a studio camera in here, considering it could pick up some of these off-air comments.
Between the comments.
Yeah.
Between the scenes.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Maybe that's what people really like to watch.
That's what they say. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, fine.
Unguarded moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah.
But you you interview a lot of public people, right?
Yeah, fair. You're a public person.
Yeah, so you'd think most of them would, you know, be aware of there is no such thing in public service as an unguarded moment.
Oh, you're surprised. I mean, we have half a dozen microphones in this room. You'd be surprised.
People get real comfortable.
Yeah.
Is that part of your job? You kind of make people comfortable and then you know.
Well, yeah, we're just conversation.
Just kind of see what happens.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a running gag with the sheriff, right? How long during the show until he says something stupid?
Really?
Yeah, we made it in the third segment last week. It might have been an all-time record.
That's impressive.
How far in it went before he said something. We both looked at each other and... Okay, yeah, that was the moment.
Yeah, I guess that is the excitement with live.
Yeah, well, and that's why family listens, too, so they can grill them afterwards.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now that it's on the internet, yeah, I suppose you could, you know, go back past shows and
just grab
samples. Yeah, yeah, staff might consider that for your guys' annual Christmas party, too.
Mm.
Yeah, go back and let's see what Sean said.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Not that we need to plant new ideas into people's minds. Huh?
No, we don't.
Yeah,
we don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Hoping we have a Christmas party.
Why wouldn't you?
At some point. Just the gathering part.
Well, it can still be done. It's just different. That's all.
It is different.
Yeah. Donut toss. As an example.
Donut toss.
Yeah. Everybody 6 feet back, we toss you a donut.
Okay.
You know.
It's better than turkey toss.
Yeah. It's better than the dunk tank.
Yeah. Definitely better than that.
You know, and people wonder why they can't prepare for this show.
I have heard that.
I
don't. That's why I encourage our battalion chiefs to attend. It's a very good experience.
Yeah. And that's probably why they don't.
It's a good experience, you know, when you're in the fire and the reporter or whomever comes and starts asking you questions.
Yeah.
You just have to be in the moment.
There are not that many fires.
True.
Okay. But in those kinds of situations, do you still have to mess around with media relations? I mean, there's so few outlets now. And then on the flip side, you got anybody that has a cell phone thinks that they're a media person.
Right.
How do you deal with that one, or is that as an incident commander?
Well, I think we're pretty fortunate here that even though there's pretty good turnover with the local reporters, whether it's News Channel 3 or 23 or, you know, any of the different media outlets, we all kind of know them, and develop a bit of a relationship. So when they do come on scene, because they do that, they're really respectful of picking their moments, and they know who to go talk to, the person with the white hat. And then because they're usually a couple of us in that moment, one of us will handle the media, so to speak. And then we have our PIO, our public information officer, Amy Conlon. She often goes to incidents and will help with that as well.
Oh, she gets to show up to those fun things?
Yeah, she's really helpful. She's also an investigator.
Probably documenting a lot of it, too, as well as the investigating. Yeah,
and then she's now a certified investigator. So
yeah, she was bragging about that last time.
Yeah, it's a big thing. So she's been really useful.
I think that'd be a kick in the pants.
It can be really interesting.
Yeah, just solve the puzzle.
Yeah. Because with a fire, you, like I said earlier, you're dealing with a level of destruction. So it's not very...
With or without the forklift?
Yeah, it's yeah. not very very easy to discern all of the clues. And you often get much more from interviewing people who may have witnessed something or may have been associated with the incident. And that's where you're often going to find the cause. That often will just, corroborate what your thesis or theory is.
I saw a program a couple weeks ago. It was a fire investigator. And it was, well, that was kind of like his formal training, but this was like doing a historical thing.
Okay.
And they cut into some timber, one of those unsolved mystery things. And you could see how deep the burn was to determine and how close the point of ignition was.
Right.
And looking at the 2x4s, this was like in a mobile home kind of a thing, they took it all down to studs, you could see it run up.
Yeah.
So you could tell by the height of the run up where the fire had started.
Yes.
And I thought, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it's a lot of common sense being utilized, whether you're responding to the fire initially or you're doing the investigation later, the logical side of the brain rather than trying to guess things.
Yeah, it's like anything else. You're looking for clues to confirm what you think. And the more knowledge and experience you have, the quicker that process happens and the more accurate it can be.
So when you don't have that much experience, not because you haven't been on it long, but because there haven't been that many fires, you look at our area, how many structure fires do you go to in a year?
About 60 to 80.
Is that enough to develop enough of a pool of experience to be able to start after 3 or 4 years?
Yes.
To be able to figure out what's going on?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, we have a pretty high number of structure fires for our area compared to the rest of the state.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And this isn't arson caused? This is just...
No, it's just a combination.
More of the drug caused in the old days?
Not really drugs. Just we get a lot of we have a lot of older construction, and then we have quite a few fires in the last years from vacant buildings being illegally occupied, and so just careless fires that way. But
not
a lot of
not
it
the
is,
meth lab or the butane stuff.
We had, when the BHO labs were just becoming more popular and you had a lot more people doing them, yeah, we had a lot of fires with those, to the point where we enacted a policy that said if we see indications of a BHO lab, we're taking a defensive position because we were having these explosions that were blowing up the house, so we're taking more of a cautious approach to it.
When was the last one of those?
Well,
has it been some time?
Their most recent one was we had a boat fire in the marina a few weeks ago.
Oh, that was triggered by one of those?
That's what the indications are, yeah. Again, the level of destruction made it hard to see the signs, and it's a relatively small thing.
Right.
But the injuries to the occupants, as well as what was found out after the fire was extinguished, it confirmed that. So often the people who get hurt, give us a pretty good indication of what happened, unfortunately. But we always take care of them before we...
Well, better than them. The neighbors.
Exactly, yep.
You can tell there's a lot of sympathy on that one, huh?
Well, people don't appreciate negligence caused by poor choices.
Oh, I thought you were going to use the S word.
Stupid. Well, you did mention common sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And common sense is remarkably uncommon, is what I learned.
Yeah, that's an Abe Lincoln quote.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, you know more history than you think.
Yeah, people like to ascribe history to certain figures, and I sometimes wonder if we just create that colloquial.
If you want a really cool book, and then we'll go to break. Norman Vincent Peale did a book on Abe Lincoln. It's a small one. It didn't get a lot of printing. I happen to have a copy of his Wisdom of Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah, so that one I've confirmed.
Very good.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 849. Another productive break, huh?
Yeah. That's where the good stuff happens.
We're back with Sean Robertson. Last time, when was the defacement of the memorial? Was that 2 months ago?
I believe so.
So have you had any reoccurrence of anything, or is that really a one-time isolated, you haven't had to deal with it?
We haven't had to deal with anything else, which is really good.
Yeah. It's still kind of interesting what motivates people to do certain things.
Yeah, I mean, you can speculate. My assumption is it was some notable target, and because there was tags in the alleyway and some...
Making references to it?
No, just somebody sprayed a similar, script.
Oh, so it was just another place. It wasn't even necessarily fire-related at all.
I think it was just a target, and it was going to have a more
visible... Did you find
visible...
him?
No.
I presume a him instead of a her?
I do not know. I don't believe they're ever located. There is that reward.
Yeah.
Very, very generous to make that, but no.
Still not?
Nope. Hmm. But yeah, we cleaned it up and reapplied the wax, so protect it.
Shined it all up?
Yeah, I mean, I still believe that's a really special location.
Oh, yeah.
Made a big improvement to that area.
Well, and the historical part of it, too.
Yeah.
I still wish that there was a historical walking tour, if you would, but with a little bit more detail than just the plaques. You know, underneath you is the tunnel between this side of the street and that side of the street.
Like a self-guided tour, you could
kind of, sort of, yeah. Some of the areas have got those the little things where you can listen to it on your telephone.
Yeah, I think you can go to areas, like you said, and get an app you can just download. And you just listen to the tour, and it tells you where to go, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of that kind of stuff. It may not be PC, but there's a lot of stuff that we've got
in the area. I've taken a tour of Old Town with, I forget the gentleman's name, but it was...
Was that with Eric Vollmers, the ghost tour?
No.
Ray Hillman?
I was with Ray Hillman, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's got a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Yeah. I mean, I've lived here for 20-plus years, and a lot of that history I didn't know about.
Yeah, some of that stuff is just kind of a kick in the pants.
Yeah, it was interesting to me, too, because I heard a lot of stories when I first came on from the older guys about what, Old Town used to be like.
Cruising the deuce, the whole nine yards.
They would, go to a lot of fires down there, and yeah, that's interesting to hear the story.
Now that would be the cultural anthropology part of the program, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So maybe you are putting your major to use.
I believe I am every day.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth, baby? Oh, the rains we've gotten. Yeah, are you breathing a little bit easier?
For the state, yes.
Yeah. Until we get into the Christmas tree season in 2 weeks.
Yep, that's always a scary proposition.
Yeah. One quick question. Does flocking impact the flammability of a tree?
Not if it's the certified flocking.
Yeah, done it properly. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you.
See? Not prepared. We still have a slam-bam show. See everybody on Monday.